Our Old Testament lesson comes from 1 Samuel in the third chapter as we hear of the calling of Samuel and the beginning of his work as a prophet in Israel. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel." And he said, "Here I am," and ran to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call. Lie down again." So he went and lay down. And the Lord called again, "Samuel." And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears it tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end, for I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli came to Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." He said, "Here I am." Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide anything from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." As Samuel grew up, the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was a trustworthy prophet of the Lord. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let us pray. Lord God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. We are in the season after Epiphany. So this is the preparation for Easter. So we prepare for Easter with Lent, but sometimes we need a little extra time to get ready for Lent. So that's what we're doing now for the next few weeks. So in this season between Epiphany and Lent, we're going to hear from Scripture, from the Old Testament, ways that we can put ourselves in a position to receive God in our lives, particularly as we prepare for Lent. We know that Lent is a season of preparation to hear the good news of Easter, but sometimes we need to get ourselves in the right posture and in the right position to be able to go through Lent. So that's what we're doing these next few weeks, is preparing to prepare for Easter, all right? So Malcolm Gladwell was the one who popularized the idea that you need to practice something for 10,000 hours in able to have to be able to have mastery over it. That's a lot of time to put in. So hopefully, yes, after 10,000 hours of doing something, you'd be pretty good at it. You'd have mastery over that. More recent research has shown that Gladwell's notion may not be entirely accurate, that it might be more or less than that, depending on what you're doing. But there is definitely something to be said for practicing something if you want to have mastery of it. In our Christian walk, we don't usually claim to have mastery over things, but we are certainly invited to practice, and to practice frequently, to exercise our faith, is how we usually say that. And what is it that we're practicing? Well, here at Hollywood, we use our mission statement to explain what we're practicing. We're practicing knowing Jesus and making Jesus known. That's our mission statement. That's what we say we're all about. And it takes practice to do those things and to do them deeply. So in order to have a level of confidence in our relationship with God, we're going to have to put in some time and effort to get to know Jesus, to know what Scripture says, to spend time in prayer knowing Jesus. And in order to have a level of comfort making Jesus known, we're going to have to practice some. It's going to take sharing our faith with others several times before we feel like we might even be close to doing it a little bit right. It takes practice to know Jesus. You have to put in time and effort, and it's going to take some practice to make Jesus known, to take those steps. In this story of Samuel today, that we hear God calling Samuel, and Samuel needs some practice too. It takes him a few tries to get it right when he responds to God. God calls to Samuel, but Samuel mistakes God's voice for Eli's voice. So he runs to Eli, not once, not twice, but three times. Samuel runs to Eli and tells him, "Here I am, you called." And it's only after that third time that Samuel's mentor, Eli, says, "There's something more going on here. There's something special. There's a message that you are to receive." So Samuel is instructed by Eli to listen to God. And when God calls again, Samuel puts himself in a position to receive what God is telling him. He repeats the words that Eli gave him. "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." It's been a little less than a week since the college football championship game and the NFL playoff games are in full swing. And in the game of football, in order for a pass to be completed, a receiver must put themselves in the position to be able to receive the pass that's coming from the quarterback. If the receiver is distracted or if they're obstructed, there's no way the pass is going to be completed. It's true not just in football, but also in faith. If we put ourselves in a place where we are distracted by other voices, or if we have placed obstacles between ourselves and God, we're going to have a really difficult time hearing the word of God in our lives. Like good football receivers, we too must become and stay open in order to receive what is being sent our way. So how does Samuel put himself in this position to receive? He repeats the words, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And then he waits. He waits for God's word to come to him. Samuel prepares himself and then is able to receive what God is saying to him. And as he continues to step into this role of prophet, one who listens to God and speaks God's word for the people, Samuel continues to grow and serve in the temple. We too, no matter if we are still growing in stature or not, can prepare ourselves to receive what God is saying to us. Oftentimes we don't put ourselves in a position to receive God's word because we don't expect God to speak to us. We don't think we're worthy. Or we think we're too old, or we're too young, or we're too ordinary, or too shy, or too something else for God to speak to us. But if God isn't speaking to us, who will God speak to? Scripture shows us time and time again that God doesn't pick the expected people, but God chooses the really ordinary. And we are those really ordinary people. God will speak to us. What will it take for you to be in a position where you are ready to receive God's word? One of the things that I know to be true in my life is that in order to best hear God, I need to be surrounded by a community of fellow followers of Christ. I need others in the community of faith to help me listen for God's voice. And when I hear God most clearly, it's because I'm listening with a community of faith who can affirm God is speaking. That's why I don't do ministry in a vacuum. I need you, Hollywood. And I would guess that you need me too. We need each other because that's how we best hear God. Samuel had to figure out where the voice that he heard was coming from. And he had some assistance from the community of faith, from his mentor, for the one in charge of his spiritual formation, from Eli. Eli helped to point Samuel in the way that he needed to go. Something that stands out for me in the story, we often say it's about Samuel and it's about God, but Eli's there too, and Eli stands out to me. Eli is in a mentoring relationship with Samuel. Eli has helped raise Samuel since he was just a very, very small child. He has lived at the temple under Eli's eye, and Eli has been the one to encourage his faith and to raise him, teaching him scripture. However, it's also Eli who is partly to blame for the silence of God in Israel. Yet, it's through Eli's prompting that Samuel once again hears God speaking to Israel. I wonder what it's like for Eli to hear his student recount having heard God speak to him the way that God spoke to Eli years ago. I wonder how Eli met the challenging day of knowing that God has given his job to someone else. It took a lot of courage for Eli to listen to Samuel and to listen to God's word. Eli had to trust that Samuel was speaking what God had told him. You see, Eli knew that he was at a point in his ministry where it was time to make room for the next person to come up as the leader of God's people. Which makes me wonder, here at Hollywood, who are we helping make room for? Who are we helping to listen to God's voice? In our wider culture, oftentimes we have the young pitted against the old. There are a lot of negative comparisons between groups, between generations, like the millennials and the baby boomers. We're told by media and by entertainment that the young and old don't see eye to eye, and they're never supposed to, and they never will. It'll always be the battle between the old and the young. Yet Scripture gives us such a different picture of intergenerational interaction. We hear over and over again in the Bible that the young and the old are both special gifts to their communities of faith and to each other. We hear of the very young Jesus, 8 days old, going to the temple and being welcomed and rejoiced over by Simeon and Anna, two of the oldest in the temple, who recognize God in their midst. We also hear of unlikely partnerships that span generations, those between Ruth and Naomi, between Mary and Elizabeth, between Moses and Joshua, Elijah and Elisha, and of course Samuel and Eli. One of the greatest bridges to help cover the gap is listening. Two generations bound together by the voice of God, and out of it, community is created. So I'm wondering how we can listen and create stronger community here at Hollywood. How do we go about bridging the generations in our different backgrounds? The first natural answer seems to be that we listen for God together. This spring, I'm going to hold a few open forums that will serve as a time for us to listen to God and to listen to each other so that we can share where we hear God calling us as individuals and as a community, what we are to be and what we are to do to serve God. So I hope that you will come and take part in those as we listen together. But another way that we can listen and create stronger community is by pairing for ministry. Now, this goes back to the way that Jesus sent out the disciples. He didn't send them out one by one, but he sent them out in pairs, together, to go and do God's work. I hope that we can be better at pairing for ministry. So perhaps in this first month of the year, you are a new leader, or you have taken on a new position within the church, and maybe you would benefit from having someone come alongside you. Or maybe you're someone who has served the church in many years in many different capacities, and you hear the call to be an Eli to one of our Samuels, someone new, beginning an adventure with God who needs someone to help them along the way. We have people, both in the role of Samuel and in the role of Eli, within this church, who can walk together, who can listen together for God. We also have a lot of young Samuels who need Elis in their lives. Those who will be going through confirmation, those who attend children's church, those who go to Sunday school in our children's Sunday school programs, those who go to Vacation Bible School, who are part of our youth group, who go to Camp Joy, and all of the other ways that we invite young disciples into the walk of faith. They need spiritual moms and dads, aunts and uncles, grandmas and grandpas. Our youth, our children, and our young adults are hungry for Eli's. Not only that, but we need companions of faith in all ages. That goes for our middle adults and older adults too. All of us can use at least one, if not several, someones to help us listen, to remember to say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And to remind us to trust in the words that God gives us. I'm going to end the sermon this morning by sharing a spoken word piece written and inspired by 1 Samuel chapter 3. It comes to us from Reverend Dr. Kevin Smalls, who is an ordained elder here in the Baltimore-Washington Conference, and he is a native of Washington, D.C. So I invite you to receive this. Nothing more frightening than heightening the expectation that God will speak. Hearing these days is rare. I don't have any more risks to spare. No need in hanging around, taking the chance of being let down by the one who always lives. better take matters into my own hands this time. If God is quiet, certainly others aren't. Buy here, pay here, sell here, try it here, go there, sit, stand, sand slipping through the fingers of hope, trying to scope any voice I can, but there is no voice, no choice. When the word is rare, no one could dare suggest I just wait. No one would care if I pick my own blessings or if I seek my own dressings to make my own arrangements. I'd rather do that than trust. Trusting leaves the possibility for disappointment. Acting on my own will come to me to clone my own, similar to the one in my mind, except it never works. Listening is always the best way. Listening. Listening to yes. Listening to no more distress. Listening also to no. Listening to follow me, trust me, hope in me. Shh, everyone, hush. I'm listening this time. I'm taking the bold leap. I'm sitting in suspense, listening even at the expense of my disappointment. I'd rather hear a no from God than a shallow yes from the mess of this world. Shh, y'all, I'm listening. Speak, God. You got me. Amen.